Scripture that we know very, very well. Probably most of us have got it underlined in our Bibles. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 this evening. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And I have a title for our teaching this evening, Coincidence Isn't in the Christian Life. Coincidence isn't in the Christian life. In other words, there's no such thing as a chance. We haven't accidentally come into this room tonight. Everything is divinely worked out by the Holy Spirit. And everything that God decrees over your life, my life, over the world, over all nations and everything, He's incorporated the free will of man. And whatever decision we take, whatever we decide to do, whatever course of action we do, will never take God by surprise. And He's working everything together for good and uses everything to bring about His glory. And we need to bear that in mind as we look at this evening. And I shall read this to you. You know this very well. But it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that is very important to remember that in light of what we're looking at in verse 28, because where it says, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And God wants you to know that He is a miracle-working God, working in your life, working in your situation, working with things around you, in your family, in the country that you live in, and in the world. And He wants you to know this. He wants you to know that all things work together for good. And to know this, We have to have the Spirit of God who works in our weaknesses, who helps us with our prayers and intercessions, which is very vital and is very connected with verse 28, in knowing how the Spirit is working and working indeed these things together for good. This is to be a great anchoring to our faith. It's to be a great encouragement, whatever we are going through or whatever the situation. It's to encourage us that even though we don't understand, and there are many things that we don't understand because God works in ways past finding out, yet whatever the situation, I know that this is working together for good. And whether God chooses to show me or not doesn't matter, because it is working together for good. And whatever situation, whatever thing that has happened, however heinous it might be, let's take for example that terrible massacre that took place in New Zealand the other day. You cannot begin to put a thing like that into words. It just goes against all comprehension. And yet, verse 28 still applies to that. The annihilation of 6 million Jews through World War II, verse 28 still applies to that. And thank God that it does. As we have no hope, we have no vision, we have no walk. So, coincidence isn't the Christian life. You see, there's no such thing as chance, especially for a saint. You see, our flesh, our feelings, and our emotions will never understand God's ways, because God's providence brings you into these circumstances that only the Holy Spirit understands. That is why Romans 8 is about being led by the Holy Spirit and not walking in the flesh. And the Holy Spirit is to come into your life and my life as the sovereign work of Almighty God. And he's to come to take over, to lead and guide you. And the more he has access over your life, as you decrease, that he increases, the more you're not going to understand. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't always matter, because all that matters is God is in control. He is the one that's leading and guiding. And this is very important to understand in this verse. So as we look back in verse 28, it says, "For we know that all things work together for good." The key word is "we know." An interesting word this is in the Greek. It means eido. And it simply means to perceive with one's eyes, to discover something, to notice something, to turn one's eyes and mind and whole being to the attention of something. It can also mean to inspect, to examine, to behold. There are a number of things with this word. It's a very interesting word in light of how the Holy Spirit works with one. I'm reminded in what it says in Matthew 4 verse 16, which says, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light." In other words, they've seen something. Something has taken their attention. Something that is not normal in the sense of what we understand normality is. Something different, something supernatural. This is not what human hands can do. This is not what man's inventions can do, and all his technology and all the things that he boasts his life in. It's nothing to do with this. This is something quite different. This is a revealing of God, quite supernatural. And this is why I'm saying so often that the Christian life and walk is a supernatural life and walk. You do not walk like the world. You don't act like the world. You don't live like the world. God has empowered us and separated us to live a walk completely different to the world. And yet we're in the world, but we're not of it, as the scriptures tell us. So there's no such thing as chance. Everything, no matter how small or great, in your life, my life, is for a purpose and a reason, for those who are led by the Holy Spirit, because that is the important thing. So we know then that all things work together for good. You know it. It's for good. And I know it's for good because I love God and God loves me. And I'm called according to his purpose. He has a purpose for my life. He has a plan. I'm set within his divine plan. We get the same idea and understanding of being baptized into the body, placed there by the Holy Spirit to function. So in many ways, you can get a similarity from this, where we're called according to his purpose. I am called in Christ. I'm not called against him. I'm not called to walk my own walk and do my own thing in my own way and my own time and so on, which sadly so many professing Christians do. No, 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 no. My life is hid in him. Where he goes, I go. What he says, I say. What he does, I do. That is what it means to walk in the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit baptizing us brings us into the divine providence of God. And so our circumstances are led by the Holy Spirit, even though we may not understand them. Yet it's still the Holy Spirit that's leading and guiding. It's still the Holy Spirit that's going to have the final say. Even if you go into the permissive will of God, and that's what sin will do. And that's why I say if we sin, we fall short of the standard, get right with God as quick as possible. That gets you back in the presence of Almighty God. You know, it's often the leading of the Holy Spirit that brings about these trials, these tests in our lives. For example, in verses 14 and 15 of Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So it is the Spirit that leads us, and if it's into trials and testings or whatever your circumstances may be, it's the Holy Spirit that is doing it. Brothers and sisters, your experience, what you are going through now, this present time and season, or what your day has brought forth, has been a result of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you. You are led by the Spirit. And if you are led by the Spirit, and that is the key, then what is going to happen in your life? If you are led by the Spirit, you are going to start to develop a prayer life. You are going to be an intercessor. You are going to be the one who at times stands in the gap. You are going to fill up that which needs filling up. Because that's what he says as you read all of this. Likewise, the Spirit, verse 26, helps in our weaknesses. We do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions with groanings which cannot be uttered. And these word groanings which cannot be uttered means that it is so deep, it's not something that you can intellectually work out. That's why prayer is in the Spirit. Those languages that God has given to you. It is the Holy Spirit communing with your spirit, and that he bypasses the mind, the intellect, the understanding. Yes, we have an understanding many times what we're praying, but he's ultimately taken over. Because you come to that place where you don't think it strange. You come to that place where you know that all things are working together for good. My prayers, my intercessions that I'm making are working together for good. Because it is the Holy Spirit that is doing it in and through me. And I'm doing this not just for myself, but as the Spirit anoints and leads and guides. Or he places those burdens in your heart, sometimes for a season. And sometimes for a season, you need to pray it through until eventually it lifts. I have to pray these teachings through by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes these teachings may require more prayer than other times. But as I am praying, led by the Spirit, he's birthing it through. Because if he doesn't birth it through, how do you know? How do you know that all things work together for good? You won't know otherwise. And as you pray, and as you intercede, however the Holy Spirit leads and guides, eventually, through your prayers, through the obedience yielding to the Holy Spirit, there comes that knowledge, that understanding. In other words, you see it, you experience it. That is the knowing. But you may not have known at the time, you simply yielded to the Spirit. But eventually it has to be visibly seen. The same as Messiah had to be visibly seen to his people, the Hebrews. There's a time where God reveals himself, his glory. And that's why we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And that is the key. It is that love. That unconditional love, that agape love. A love for God and not a love for self. And because of that, I know that all things are working together for good. And there comes a time and a season where we see it. And that's why we must never try to be in control in our own circumstances, in our own strength. I'm going to be my own boss. Jesus was not in control when they took him and they crucified him. Isaiah tells us he went as a lamb to the slaughter. He never resisted the cross. He let them do what they did. And it is the same for us. We allow the Holy Spirit, we don't resist him, but we let him work in and through us for the glory of God, for the purpose that we might know that all things work together for good to those that love God and those who are called according to his purpose. And indeed, you are called according to his purpose. You say to me, well, I'm not really sure. Well, let's take some comfort then. You wouldn't be sitting in this room this evening. You wouldn't be listening to this. You wouldn't have any interest in a meeting like this. You'd be doing something completely different. So there must be something then working in my life that I'm called according to his purpose. But we must never try and be in control. Never be in control of your future, your planning, your life. Never do it. It never works for the Christian. And yet a lot of professing Christians are trying to plan their life, their future, and so on. They want to do it their way. And it never works. Never works. You see, all our circumstances are in the hand of Almighty God. And that's why we don't think it's strange when we go through various trials, tribulations, or whatever it is. It might outwardly look strange. And the reason that it looks strange is because you can't intellectually work it out. It doesn't make sense. And I have found some of the most profoundest things in my life in experiencing the glory of God in a most supernatural way is when I cannot work it out logically, intellectually. And I'm coming to that place where I don't want to anymore. Because God is bypassing everything within man, everything within his flesh. He will not have that pride before him. And for us to try and work out what God is doing or how he's going to do it or whatever is simply pride rising up. We know about this at the moment with all this Brexit going on, and they're all trying to work out how it's going to be, when it's going to be, and the utter, utter confusion. It's a sham. Let us just pray and intercede as the Holy Spirit leads and guides us. That is what he's come for. And if he gives you certain insight or he shows you to get into warfare, then the Holy Spirit is doing it for a purpose and a reason. We are indeed to pray for our country, our governments, our leaders, and so on. And I'm always stressing to thank and praise God that in the West we're still able to meet and fellowship without being persecuted. But we don't know how much longer that will last. But we don't think it strange. And when we do think it strange, we miss it. Because when we think it strange, which is a sign that we're trying to work it out, understand it, whatever it would be, you will always find that there is stress and anxiety and fear is attached with that. Always. And if you don't deal with it, it will cause you to compromise. But you see, for the sons of God who are growing up, and that's what this verse speaks about, sonship, then they have come to a place where they know that all things work together for good. They know it because they have experienced it. They are so persuaded, they are so influenced because they have seen the mighty hand of God work over and over and over again in every situation, that we come to that place where we don't even doubt anymore. Yes, God can do that. Abraham didn't think it strange when taking his son to offer him up as a sacrifice. You don't see him arguing, questioning with God. Yes, I'm sure he must have been thinking a few things, but he's totally trusting God because he knew that all things work together for good. And because he knew it, he was able to tell his servants, "We will come back." So there was his faith talking. And we know, of course, that God provided for the sacrifice. And so when we're thinking it strange, we're still missing it. And these signs show when we're still thinking it strange and we're missing it, because we're up and down, like the waves of the sea. One minute we're in love with the Lord and what we'll do for him is nobody's business, and the next minute we're running away. Clear signs that we're not settled, we're not anchored yet. But stay with it and he will get us to that place. Why? Because the baptism of the Spirit in your life has come to do that work. That is the reason why he has come, and he's not going to give up. You see, I give much, and I have given a lot of teaching recently on Ephesians 6 with our warring against the strongholds and the powers and principalities. But unless the Spirit is praying through you, through that situation, it will never be understood. And you will be frustrated. And you'll wonder if all of this works or it's just fantasy. Because that is the key. It is the Holy Spirit praying through our weaknesses, making intercessions, pointing them in the right direction. And that has to be experienced, as otherwise it isn't going to make any sense. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And it goes on. That is how God works. That is the calling. That is most whom he calls. That's the wisdom and mind of God. Because he knows with those whom he calls like that, he knows they will come to that place where they know that all things work together for good. Because they're weak in their lives. They haven't got much to show. Probably haven't got a lot of money. Didn't have a great education. Didn't have parents that were wealthy or went to top public schools. And it's not to say that God cannot save people like that. Indeed, he does. Jesus ultimately came for the poor, the weak, the destitute. Because he knew that by calling those people, they would come to that place knowing that all things work together for good. Because they didn't have the world's goods, the world's influences hindering them. And that's why Jesus said how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why do he doesn't need to know that all things work together for good? Because they are. His money is buying it all for him or her. They can have what they want. But when we are seeking God, we're seeking him to pay those bills or whatever it would be. That is where you learn from God. That is where your experience comes. And the world doesn't know that. And that is the difference. And that is why he puts us in situations, circumstances, in which to bring about our intercessions, our prayers, our situations, our circumstances, what we're going through or what we hear or whatever it would be, causes us to pray, to intercede. And what is it we're doing? We're bringing that before the mercy seat of God. That is what is so wonderful about this. That when you pray for your rebellious daughter, you are bringing her or your son or whatever member of the family, you're bringing them in your prayers, intercessions before the mercy seat of God. God has incorporated your prayers in his divine will. So your prayers, my prayers, that are led by the Holy Spirit, as it speaks of back in Romans 8, is all in the will and plan of God. Doesn't take him by surprise. That's why so often when you pray, you've already got the victory. If it is led by the Spirit. But if your prayers are independent of God and against the will of God, and against his word, then they go no higher than the ceiling. And you will never know that all things work together for good to those that love God and those who are called according to his purpose. You'll never know it. In fact, we're hindering the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the clue, and listen carefully. Our prayers and intercessions do not belong to us. They are the Holy Spirit's prayers. I'm going to give that again to you. All our prayers and intercessions do not belong to us. They are the Holy Spirit's prayers. So even our prayers, as we pray, are a gift from God. And when you get that from the head to your heart, you will never doubt verse 28 anymore. And that is an experience for the sons of God, the daughters of God, to enter into. And that is why we have the privilege, as I close now, to preach and teach the deeper life in the Spirit. It is that doorway through into the Spirit, and you can go as far as you want with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you will know in your walk, whether you are walking, whether you are at work, whether you are shopping, working in your house, or the Spirit has got you into prayer, whatever your situation, you will know that all things are working together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That is how Jesus walked. And that is how he was able to pray for the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to call his disciples, to give his life, to surrender himself unto death. He was able to do that because he knew that everything he was receiving, everything he was experiencing, every prayer that he was praying was a gift from his Father. And he knew he was one. And that is why he said, I do only that which the Father reveals. And that is the work the Holy Spirit is doing with you and me and the body of Christ, those who are going on deeper with the Lord. So that it is all of God. Can this be achieved? Is it possible? Why, of course it can. Because the Lord said that all things are possible to them that believe. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, not to doubt you. Help us to be those empty vessels filled with your Spirit. Help us to be led by the Spirit so that the power of the Spirit, your presence, you, yourself, is flowing through each of us, touching this godless life and world that we live in. That our prayers, intercessions are touching the mercy seat of God. Bring us, Lord, to that experience where we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. May that be, Father, our experience. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
For from him and through him and to him are all things, to from him and through him and to him are all things. To God be the glory forever. Amen. For from him and through him and to him through him and to him.